Parshas Shelach, Tavshin Samaches. The main story in this week's parsha, of course, is the Meraglim, which we are not focusing on. You've heard so much about the Meraglim. We will come to discuss the Tikkun for the Chet HaMeraglim, but not the actual Chet itself. Rather, our focus is Perek Tes Vav, which is the halachas that are taught to Bnei Yisrael directly after the whole episode of the Meraglim has kind of come to closure. Now, if you look in Perek Tes Vav, you'll see that the halachas presented here are ones that we've heard about before, but not precisely in this way. Vedavar Hashem al Moshe Lemor, Hashem speaks to Moshe and tells him to relate to Bnei Yisrael that when they come to Eretz Yisrael, they will offer karbanos, which we've known about the karbanos. They will offer an ola, which is a completely burnt offering, and the ola is the karban that is given every shachris, the tamid, the daily offering, which we call the karban tamid, is an ola, which means it's entirely burned. Nobody eats from it. And of course the afternoon karban, the karban mincha, that is also an ola. It's also a tamid, a regular offering, and nobody eats from it. And in addition to that, there are other karbanos which are called zevach. They are shlamim. They are free will offerings. They include the karban toda, a moment of gratitude, a moment of a sense that they want to show their appreciation for the gifts they've been receiving in their life. And we've known about these karbanos. And what we're being introduced here now is in Pasuk Dalid. And that is that when a person brings a private karban, not necessarily a karban tamid, which is offered on behalf of all of Klal Yisrael every single day, when a person brings a private karban, they also bring the mincha and the nesach alongside the karban. That's a chiyuv. It is a responsibility. This is the chiddush here, that we bring an additional offering, two additional offerings actually, the mincha and the nesach, with our personal voluntary karban. Now, what is the mincha and the nesach? If you look into the pasuk, you'll see that the mincha is an offering of flour and oil, and the nesach is an offering of wine. The wine was poured into some type of vessel attached to the southwest corner of the Beis HaMikdash, which is like, imagine where you're standing at the coastal, really, is the southwest end. And the Beis HaMikdash back was to you. When you're standing at the coastal, you're facing the back wall of the Beis HaMikdash, the Kodesh HaKadoshim wall. And the Mizbeach was not in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and it wasn't even in the Heichal. It was outside in the Chatzar, which is closer to Har HaZeisim, that side, but it was on the southwest corner. There was a bucket that you poured the wine into, and it went into the deep, deep foundations of the Mizbeach. Now, these two offerings were in addition, as we said, to the Korban Tamid, but now we're learning they're in addition to the personal Korbanah. So our question is, number one, why are these the mitzvahs directly related after the Chet HaMeraglim? And that's our first question. And our second question is, what is, if we could get to have some type of understanding of this mitzvah of mincha and nesach, what are they for? Why are they a chiyuv? Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell us to offer this on the Mizbeach? So Rashi says, first of all, that the reason these mitzvahs are given now, kisavo, Rashi basically says Hashem wanted them to know that they were going to end up, they were going to come to Eretz Yisrael. So immediately he tells them what's going to happen when he gets there, to boost their spirits, basically. That's a simple, straightforward explanation of Rashi. He's telling them, you know, you're very hopeless now. You've just heard that so many of you are going to die in the Midbar. You feel maybe we'll sin again. Maybe even the survivors won't make it into Eretz Yisrael for some other reason. Don't worry, you're going to get there and you're going to offer karbanos, and you're going to offer not only karbanos, but you're going to offer the produce of the land of Eretz Yisrael, the wheat of the land, the oil of the land, the wine of the land. You'll be there, you'll be farming, you'll be gathering your produce, you'll be bringing it to the Beis HaMikdash. Hashem gives them hope. But in addition to that, there's another aspect of the mitzvahs that we're going to talk about today, and that is that perhaps the mitzvahs of Mincha Nesach really serve as a tikkun for the Chet HaMeraglim. That's the angle we're going to investigate. What was the Chet HaMeraglim, and how is this a tikkun? So in order to get into the tikkun, we have to first define and analyze the Mincha and the Nesach more clearly. So, first of all, what is a mincha? What does the word mincha mean? Well, it should be differentiated from the word matana or chiyuv. A chiyuv is an obligation, something you must give to somebody else that you owe them, that you're forced to present to them. So, for example, the Karban Ola, the Tamid, the daily offering, was a chiyuv. It had to be offered to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, a matana, a gift, is something you give someone that serves a purpose and perhaps fulfills a need that they have. So somebody needs money, you give them a monetary gift. Somebody needs something for their house and you want to be nice to them, so you give it to them. That's a matana. A matana is giving somebody something that fulfills a need that they have. It's actually directed towards the receiver. That's the Hebrew scientific kind of definition of a matana. Giving the receiver something that the receiver needs. But a mincha doesn't have that much to do with the receiver. The mincha is a token of love that the giver uses to express, you know, just the closeness, just the friendship. For example, you come to somebody's house for the weekend and you bring them a beautiful bottle of wine. They don't need the wine. They didn't expect the wine. It just shows your affection for them. It's a sign of love. It's just a symbol. It's a symbol of a satisfaction, a happiness that you're together, that you share your life together, and that you have a bond, and that you care about each other. It's just a symbol of love. And that's really the Torah understanding of a mincha. So the mincha that's offered with the karban is meant to be the same thing. It's not like the karban, it's something in addition to the karban. It's offered alongside the karban. Now, we'll get back to this. What is the mincha and the nesach made out of? Well, they're made out of three ingredients. The mincha is made out of flour, which is, there are five types of grains that are special to Eretz Yisrael that have to have trumas and masros taken from them. By the way, these grains are chita, wheat, seora, barley, kosmin, rye, something called shibolet shual, which is some form of spelt, but we're not quite sure of the exact species, and,
shifan.
That's right, and shifan, which is oats. Now, these are the five kinds of grains that demand trumas and masros, and they go under the category of dagon. So the first ingredient in the mincha is dagon, is really wheat, or this type of grain. And then it's mixed with oil. And the wine is a separate offering that goes together. Now, these three products of Eretz Yisrael are the what are called Ikar Gedulei Ha'aretz. They're the essential products of Eretz Yisrael. They are the only three mentioned in Shema. If you look at the Shema, which you can, by the way, find in Akev, flip ahead for a moment. Parshas Akev, Perek Yud Aleph, which is on page 994. Here's the pasuk we're familiar with. V'nasati mitar artzachem b'ito yore umalkosh v'yasafta degoncha rather degonecha v'siroshcha v'yitzarecha. You're going to gather your grain, your wine, and your oil. These are the essential products of Eretz Yisrael. Now, my grandfather Schwab points out in the Tefillah Sefer, in Shema, on this pasuk, that these three products of Eretz Yisrael have special qualities. And they are meant to be eaten, and what they do for us spiritually, psychologically, is a gift that Hashem has given us to help us along, and it's part and parcel of living in Eretz Yisrael, and it changes the person. So what are the gifts of your grain, your wheat, and your oil, and your wine? So regarding Dagon. Dagon is always associated, grain or eating wheat, eating bread, is always associated with das, with knowledge. The Gemara says, for example, that a child doesn't know how to call his mother Ima or his father Abba, doesn't have an awareness of people and their individuality. The beginning of das until they start eating cereals, until they start eating grains. Somehow grains help develop the mental capacity of the child. They're the first step towards adulthood, which is understanding, which is living by comprehension of the world around us. The first step is eating solid food, and that continues through life all the way until a person reaches a degree of real das, of real understanding of the world, its purpose, humanity, how we function, why we function, our responsibility to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the reason we're here, how we're supposed to use everything around us, real das, choice, bechira, evaluation, judgment, decisions. That's the final, that's the end result, but it begins when the child is old enough to eat Dagon. So Dagon represents for us das. The grain of Eretz Yisrael that the halachos apply to, including taking challah, they don't just give a person general chachma, general wisdom, which develops with the brain. They have the power to give a human being an extra capacity of what we call das elokim, real das, real knowledge, to help a person be wiser, not just smarter in terms of information, but wiser. Wiser in terms of understanding, in terms of being able to differentiate between right and wrong, good and bad, see things for what they truly are, not necessarily what they seem like. That's the gift of Das. And the flower of Eretz Yisrael actually imbues into a person a greater degree of Das, helps them learn Torah better, helps them understand the words of the Torah better. Now, Dagoncha, and we have Tiroshcha. Tiroshcha is your wine. Your wine is, we know wine is associated with happiness. Now there's a lot of types of, there are many different types of happiness. There's a simple frivolity, lightheaded happiness that wine produces, no question about it. But wine also is responsible for producing a different, a deeper form of happiness. The wine of Eretz Yisrael forms the happiness that we say in Tehillim, Yayin Yismach Levav Enosh, it gladdens the heart of a human being, but not in a foolish type of happiness. The wine of Eretz Yisrael has the ability to bring a deep-seated satisfaction into the heart of a person. That that is differentiated from a momentary, lightheaded type of flippant, joking type of happiness, but more of a deep-seated pleasure in the purpose of a person's life and the day, the routine of a Jewish person's day. That's the quality of yayin. And what about Yitzarecha? Yitzarecha comes from the Shorish Tzahar, like Tzaharayim, oil, light, or that brings to a person another quality, which is a spiritual quality, just like Das and pleasure and satisfaction. That brings to the person the quality of Ha'ara Seinayim, of enlightening of the eyes. That leads in its fullest degree to Ruach HaKodesh. The beginning is a certain enlightenment, a certain sense of understanding, but it's not intellectual knowledge so much as spiritual, transcendent understanding. And this leads eventually to Ruach HaKodesh being filled with the spirit of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that changes the way we do everything, elevates us, differentiates us from the rest of mankind. And this is a gift also that is part of the produce of Eretz Yisrael. So what's happening here is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, you take these three ingredients and you bring them on the Mizbeach. Now, why do we bring them on the Mizbeach? By the way, Tad She Ha'aretz Desha, my grandfather points out, let the earth bring forth Desha, so you can remember this. Desha is the, you know, you could use it as like a Roshei Tevos, Dalid for Das, Shin for Simcha, and Aleph for Or. Tachei Ha'aretz Desha, that the land will bring forth these three foods that produce these three qualities. Now, we bring these with the karbanos. So let's try to understand why, what we're trying to say with these karbanos, with these offerings. So in regard to the ola is a mandatory offering, a karban tamid, every single day. It's on behalf of the whole nation. It's entirely burnt. It's very clear to know what its symbolism is. Its symbolism is that we are demonstrating that everybody in this nation, as a whole, as a people, we've entirely dedicated ourselves to the service of Hashem. Of course, the first ola ever to be attempted to be offered is Yitzchak on the Akedah. And every ola ever offered after that was meant to recreate that very same emotion, that if I could, I would devote myself entirely, sacrifice myself entirely to God, give up the whole of my physical existence, because I am nothing but an expression of the will of Hashem. Now, we spoke about this last week. We said that on a very, very pristine level, and we've probably all experienced this on different levels and at different times, we have a sense as religious Jews, we kind of know this intuitively, that as much as the Torah comes to enhance our life and channel all our natural, biological, physical abilities and impulses towards a holier, into a holier direction, to some degree, the Torah also demands from us that we sacrifice. We completely give up certain natural, what would otherwise be natural human, you know, drives or natural human processes. As a Jew, we know that certain things are out of the question. And we slowly, through chinuch, through role models, through the community we live in, we just teach ourselves that these things are never to express themselves, never to rear their heads, to be avoided completely, and not part of our lives. In a sense, to completely sacrifice certain, what for other human beings is a natural way of living and thinking and acting. No question about it. The Karban Olah symbolizes that every day there is an element of total sacrifice to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, a person can be part of the nation that's offering the Karban Olah, and can accept that, can say, I see that. As a Jew, this is my destiny. This is my role. I am called to a higher, you know, to a higher level of existence. Certain things must be completely sublimated or, in a sense, sacrificed, given up, let go of, in order to be a good Jew. That's it. I can't do everything and indulge in everything and be a Jew at the same time. And I accept that. I'm mekabel that. But that doesn't mean that a person is mekabel that besimcha. It doesn't mean a person embraces that. It could be done with a sense of resignation. It could be done with a sense of obligation, with a sense of fear. I have no choice. What should I do? Fight God himself? I'm not crazy. Destroy myself in the process? That doesn't make any sense. So I accept this is my fate, to devote myself entirely to Hashem. Not to be part of the world and the rest of the world that everybody's living in, to have a different existence. So I offer the Karban Tamid. But that doesn't mean it's done with enthusiasm and with love and that I'm one with it. It means that I have no other choice but to offer the Karban Tamid. That's a possibility. Regarding a zevach, which is a shlamim, which is a person filled, it really is the opposite, which is not an obligation, but a person is filled with a sense of closeness to Hashem because there something wonderful happened and they want to offer a carbon toad on behalf of that. Okay? Rav Hirsch points out in this section in the Hirsch Siddur that people do have moments of great closeness to Hashem and inspiration and satisfaction with the life they're living, which is represented in a carbon toza or a carbon shlamim, but it's not easy and it's very unusual to maintain that on a regular basis. It's a spurt. And the normal process is a sense of what we just spoke about of the ola. So now comes the mincha and the nesach. Offering the mincha and the nesach in addition to the ola, and even in addition to the shlamim, which could be a toda, a Thanksgiving offering, tells us that when we come to the Beis HaMikdash, when we offer a karbon, we want to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu that it's not being done because we have no choice. It's not being done because we're obligated. This is our life. This is our history. This is our fate. But we have become one with our role. That we accept this mission and we embrace it. And it fills us with joy, with knowledge. It helps us transcend the world and look at it objectively and see where we're at and be proud of it. The mincha, which is made of solus, which is dagan, das, knowledge, we show HaKadosh Baruch Hu by offering the knowledge mixed with the oil, which is the or, like the beginnings of what leads to Ruach HaKodesh, that we're not just doing this, living this life because that's what it has to be. We understand how it changes us, how it elevates us, how it brings us into a whole nother dimension that we want to be on, that we're not just physical people living our lives, coming and going, plowing the land, toiling in the earth, working, and then getting old and dying. There's so much more through the mitzvahs that we have, and the moedim and the chagim that we have, and the life that we live with, and the Beis HaMikdash at the center of it, that elevates us, gives us eternity, makes every mundane act meaningful, and we know it with our chachma, and we know it with our spirit, with the aras einayim, the wisdom and the intuitive, elevated understanding that the Nevi'im eventually had. That's what we know. We're coming to offer the korban with the sense that it's something we've embraced. Also the yayin. We're not coming here because it's an obligation. We're coming here because it fills our hearts with a deep seated satisfaction that we have been given this life with all of its challenges and with its demands. So as we mentioned last week, there is an element of sacrifice, and that part is hard. And we spoke about the idea that kol hatchalot kashot, when a person faces that, it's very difficult to come to peace with it. And that's what the people were complaining about, what they were mourning. Mit onanim from the Shorish onain. Remember, an onain is someone whose dead is before them, and whose dead was before them? Their own awareness that something had to go. They weren't living the same old life they were, the rest of the family of man, the rest of society anymore. But once a person realizes that they're really drawn to a higher calling and they embrace it and they begin to appreciate what it does for them, then after a while, it's not an easy process. I really think that Yiras Shamayim is not for the weak, you know, the weak-hearted, and it's not for the lazy. It takes a time to appreciate that type of pleasure. But then the satisfaction is so deep, so internalized in a person, as expressed through the yayin, that it's the greatest satisfaction of all the satisfactions that possibly can exist. And that's what we come to the korban with. We come to the korban with all these other expressions of happiness and understanding that accompany the obligation. Now, how is this a tikkun for the Chet HaMeraglim? So we said last week that what's happened with the Mun, and unfortunately carried over into the Meraglim, was that Klal Yisrael were in the Midbar, and the Midbar demanded from them a supernatural existence, and we just spoke about how they realized that meant that they had to live on a whole different level, and they weren't ready. It was a process till they could come to grips with that. So you would think that when they would come to Eretz Yisrael, they'd be relieved. Here they could live more naturally. Here they could live like regular people, not on a totally transcendent, almost plane like they did in the Midbar, surrounded by Nisim at every second, but a normal life. But they understood that wasn't what was happening. It wasn't either or. It wasn't that Eretz Yisrael was the exact opposite of the Midbar. The Midbar was just a training school for the demands of Eretz Yisrael. They realized that as they would move into Eretz Yisrael, the same exact spiritual muscles, you might say, would be called into play, which would be that, yes, they would plow and have farms and have families and have houses and live b'derech hateva, no question about it. But they realized as soon as they saw Eretz Yisrael that this land demanded, just like in the Midbar, but in a different way, total devotion to one goal and one goal only. How did they see this? Because they came into Eretz Yisrael and they recognized right away that this land was not an inanimate, you know, object. This land was alive. Eretz Zavat Chalav V'Devash, that's flowing with milk, that's like a cow, a living animal. Devash comes from a bee. This land was a chai. This land was alive. It was overpowering. And look what it did to its inhabitants. It grew them into giants. Look what it did to its fruits. It made them hyper, you know, huge, you know, gave them a tremendous amount of energy and strength. This land demanded, forced, a degree of living that was also unnatural. And they said to themselves, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu demands from us is the same degree of supernatural, over the top, gigantic accomplishments. How are we going to live up to it? This land demands everything from a person. They realized that the land was demanding. Now, the truth is, and my grandfather Schwab points this out, yes, the land has a power. 10 of the Meraglim saw the power of Eretz Yisrael and it terrified them. They saw the giants in Hebron and they were terrorized by the giants. But 2 of the Meraglim also went to Hebron, right? Kalev for sure went to Hebron, it mentions. Yeshua actually didn't, but Kalev went to Hebron. He also saw giants. He wasn't fazed by the physical giants that were there. He had his focus on the other giants he saw in Hebron. Where were they? Buried in Maras HaMachpelah. And he understood that this land will produce greatness. Either it will go into the human being who embraces the powers of the land and uses the powers of the land and allows the powers of the land to make them into a giant spiritually, or those powers of Eretz Yisrael will fill up a person physically. But the powers of Eretz Yisrael are real and they will change the people, they will create demand from the people. So Kalev and Yeshua understood that the people didn't have to be afraid of Eretz Yisrael. They could embrace the powers, and here we're learning, eat from the produce, eat the wheat, and it will make a person have das, like the avos. Eat, drink the oil, use the oil, it will make a person have the Or HaTorah in their heart and in their mind, like the avos. And drink from the wine, and it will make the person have the great pleasure of living this life despite the hardships. Eat from the land, utilize the powers of the land, and that person will become one with those powers and great things will happen, and not to be afraid of what could happen to them or that they won't be able to live up to it and they'll be overwhelmed and destroyed by it. Because Eretz Yisrael, as we know, is an intolerant land too. It does demand. So the same challenge they actually had in the Midbar, they had facing Eretz Yisrael. The land wanted them to devote all their energies in one direction. And that's what they were afraid that they couldn't master. They couldn't commit to that. It was the same thing as the Mon. It's another expression. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know what happens. This generation doesn't come into Eretz Yisrael, but the next generation who lives 40 years in the Midbar, who get used to the Mon and get used to the spiritual existence, they can come into Eretz Yisrael. Not the Yotzei Mitzrayim. For them it was too big of a transition, but the next door. The next door can come into Eretz Yisrael. So the first thing HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells them is you're going to come in and you're going to eat from specifically Dagoncha, Tiroshcha, V'yitzarecha. And you know what you're going to do with it when you eat from it? You're going to bring it on the Mizbeach, and you're going to bring it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you're going to demonstrate that it's part and parcel of your whole life and the way you think and the way you live. It all comes together. It will be a harmonious existence. You won't be in conflict. You will grow alongside your obligations, your responsibilities, and you'll grow with them. It will be a situation of conflict, but of harmony, to the point that you'll bring it on the Mizbeach, and you'll show alongside the Tamid, the Ola, comes the Mincha and the Nesach. Now this explains, by the way, my grandfather points out here that by Moshe Rabbeinu, the Gemara says something a little funny. It says, Mipnei Ma, in Sota, Mipnei Ma, Nis'ava Moshe Rabbeinu Likanes L'Eretz Yisrael. Why did Moshe want to go into Eretz Yisrael so much? You know, he prayed so much. This is a kind of funny question. Of course he'd want to go into Eretz Yisrael. But the Gemara says here, V'chi lechol mipiryo hutzarech, does he need to eat its fruit? Now we understand that Gemara. The Gemara is not trying to say, why did Moshe want to go in so he can taste the fruits of Eretz Yisrael, you know, just enjoy it. The Gemara is saying, the fruits of Eretz Yisrael give a person these qualities, but Moshe Rabbeinu had them already. So what does he need Eretz Yisrael for? He was the one person that was able to achieve all this without the fruits of Eretz Yisrael. But for everybody else, the products of Eretz Yisrael do that for them. And that also helps us explain, by the way, the formulation of the bracha we make, the Alamechia bracha, which we end with, or we actually begin, Al Eretz Chemda Tovo Rechava Sheratzita V'Inchalta Lavotenu Le'echol Mipirya Mitzvah Ulispoa Mituva, to eat its fruit and to be satisfied with its goodness. There's actually a mitzvah to eat the fruits of Eretz Yisrael. And the whole reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the land is that we should have the product, the produce of the land, that we should have a mitzvah to eat and to gain from. Now, it seems to me that bracha in the products of Eretz Yisrael is always there. It was there before the Jewish people came in. It was there in the giants. It was there in the great, huge, you know, grape clusters that they brought. And it's there after the Chorban. And it's there when we're in Gullus. And it's there when things are not perfect in Eretz Yisrael, like today, and there's a mosque on the Har HaBayis. It's still there. And you can see it in the people of Eretz Yisrael. You can see it in the people that weather all kinds of challenges, and somehow they would never think of leaving. They're filled with satisfaction that they're living in Eretz Yisrael. They live with a huge amount of struggle, the people in Eretz Yisrael, the ones so many have sacrificed, and they have a chachma. It's for a purpose. It doesn't scare them. And they have a simcha, that they're privileged to live in Eretz Yisrael, and if they have to sacrifice, thank goodness they're sacrificing because they're a Jew in Eretz Yisrael. These qualities exist today in the Giborim, the powerful people of Eretz Yisrael. And they come in all shapes and forms and colors and varieties. There are qualities to the people in Eretz Yisrael that the land itself seems to breed these type of people. We all know exceptional people who fit into these categories. And that's why there are many people that are drawn to Eretz Yisrael, because they understand that, and that although America there's a lot of Torah here, and there's a lot of Yerush Shemayim here, and there's a righteous people here too. But somehow this land, the land itself, the food we eat, the earth we walk on, the water we drink, is not misugal. It's just not created to affect the person who's living here in a spiritual way, but everything in Eretz Yisrael is. And so, in a sense, what we're saying is, can a person be fully alive here in Chutz La'aretz? I guess we all know the answer. Yeah, there are righteous people here, it's true, wonderful people here, holy people here, but is there something definitely missing? There's no question. You are what you eat, and we're not eating the produce of Eretz Yisrael. So, this continues. And it's a sacrifice among so many sacrifices that we are making, by living here. We are giving up something. No question about it. All of these ideas, they found expression in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. When a person came, offered a karbon, and brought with it their mincha and their nesach. But where do we see them today? So we do see them today. They still are with us. We still offer the mincha and the nesach. We know that in place of karbanos, today we have tefillah. Of course, we know that. And therefore, if you look into the tefillah to find the place for the mincha and the nesach, and there it is. It is there. Tefillos bimkom karbanos. So, which part of the tefillah, by the way, when we say tefillah, we're primarily talking about Shemoneh Esrei. Which part of the tefillah is the Ola, the Korban Tamid, and which part of the tefillah is the Yayin, the and the Mincha, and the Nesach? Well, we have Shemoneh Esrei. the first part of the Shemoneh Esrei, as you all know, is Shevach, the Avos, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, who we are, this, and how Hashem should consider us in light of who we are. The middle section is the Bakasha, the request, and the last section is called Hoda'a. Well, the beginning sections are in place of the Karban Tamid. Now, how's that? How is making requests to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all the things we need in place of a Karban Tamid, which is supposed to show our devotion to Hashem, right? So, firstly, just interestingly, if you can write this down and look at it later in your Siddur, the Bakasha section is divided up into four groups of three brachas with one intermediate bracha. Okay, the first bracha, if you have a Siddur in front of you, the first three brachas in Shemoneh Esrei are for the individual spiritual needs of a person. The three brachas are Chonein Hadas, you give a person Das, you want Tshuva, Rote B'Tshuva, and Hamarbel L'Sloach, and you Slicha. Slicha, Tshuva, and Das. These are spiritual places we need to be in. We need to be Havdas, we need to be close to Hashem, not banished or feeling distant from Hashem, and we need to be continuing on our path without barriers that we've ourselves created. These are three spiritual requests that we make for ourselves as individuals. Then we make three requests that are physical in nature, what we need to survive physically. They basically fall into the category of health, wealth, and happiness. The first one is Goel Yisrael, redeeming Yisrael. That, by the way, we learn is not like for the geula of the nation. It's the personal geula from a person's challenges, a person's battles, whatever they might be. Then there's health, Rafa'enu, and then there's Mevarech Hashanim, that's wealth, produce. Health, wealth, and happiness, that's what a human being, the basic needs we have to function. Then comes the bracha, Mekabetz Nidchei Amo Yisrael, you gather us all in. That is a transition bracha between the individuals and the nation. The next six, three and three, will be the needs of the nation. First, the spiritual needs of the nation, the intellectual or ruchnius qualities of the nation, which is that we want to live in a state of tzedakah and mishpat, which is that means that we are goa justice and truth. That's what we need to live in to function. The destruction of rishayim and the strengthening of the tzaddikim. If that's in place, then spiritually our nation will be in order, healthy. And then we need three physical things as a nation. We need Yerushalayim. We need Mashiach. And Shema Kolenu, which sounds like a general bracha to hear our prayers, is not. It's actually a bracha for the Beis Hamikdash, which is the place where all prayers are heard. Ki Beisi, Beis Tefillah, the base of prayer, a house of prayer for all the nations. So when we ask for Shema Kolenu, Shomea Tefillah, we're actually asking for the Beis Hamikdash. That's where our tefillahs are heard. These are the three physical, material needs we have. We need Yerushalayim to be built. We need a Beis Hamikdash. We need Mashiach to come. So we've just asked for our basic requirements. This all is in place of the Tamid. Now, how is asking for things in place of showing our devotion? Because we know that when we're asking, we're not informing God of the things we're missing. We're making ourselves aware that everything we need comes from Hashem and is meant to be used like an ola, directly back, given back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we recognize through our tefillah, these are our needs. We stop fooling ourselves that we have other important needs. These are the only needs that we have that are important. Okay, everything else has to fit into one of these categories. Everything else is probably a distraction into an area that perhaps we think, you know, we need, but as healthy Jews, these are the things we need, just in case we're not sure. So by recognizing that we need this, and recognizing that it comes from Hashem, what in a sense we're saying, we then will devote ourselves with these things to your service. So they're just like the Ola. Now we've given the Ola, we've shown our total devotion to Hashem, giving our physical reality to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now comes the Mincha and the Nesech. The last three brachas are, my grandfather points out, in place of those offerings. There are three last brachas, and we said they're part of hoda'ah, gratitude. But at first glance, they look an awful lot like requests. So we have to understand them more carefully. The first one is ritzeh. Desire Hashem ba'amcha Yisrael. Desire your nation. Contrast this to the previous paragraph, which says, ki ata shomea tefilas amcha Yisrael. You listen to the prayers of your nation, Klal Yisrael, in which case the prayers are the most important thing, except their prayers. Here, Ritzei Hashem Elokeinu Ba'amcha Yisrael, desire your nation and their prayers. Okay? So we're asking Hashem here to desire us, to return the Avoda to the Beis HaMikdash, to desire our Avoda, to receive it with love and Ratzon, and to let our eyes see the return of the Shekhinah. Now, this is a kind of request, but it's a different type of request than the first 13. Look at the next one. We are grateful to you that you are Hashem, that our lives are given over to you, that our neshamas are in your care, that you watch over us all the time. And Baruch Atah Hashem, Atov Shimcha, and L'cha Na'el Lahodos, your name is good, and it's pleasant to praise you. Now, that's not quite a request. It's really a hoda'ah, as we said. But you ask in the course of this bracha, we do ask that, in a sense, that Hashem should continue being with us, showing us our nisim every day. And the third one, sim shalom. This also sounds like a request. Grant us peace, goodness, blessing, chayin, chesed, rachamim, the whole nation. Please bless us ba'or panecha, in the light of your face, that our lives should be illuminated by your presence. And because you've given us Torah Chaim, Avas Chesed, Tzedakah, Bracha, and we say, Baruch Atah Hashem HaMavarech Es Amo Yisrael Shalom, you bless us with peace of mind, peace, spiritual peace. Now, we said that these are somehow similar to Bakasha, but they're not, they're Mincha and Nesach. So, what we're saying here is that, yes, they are in some way a request, but they are not a request for things we need in order for us to function best as good Jews and devote ourselves to Hashem. What these are requests for are Hashem's presence to be revealed among us, Hashem's will to be known in this world, to be respected, to be followed, and that we should be caught up in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem's involvement in our life, that it should gather us up, carry us along. In other words, this is a mincha. It's a token of love and appreciation to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that after we've asked for everything, just like the Korban Ola, and we intend to show Hashem that we'll give it all back to Him, we do this with a great sense of satisfaction, that it brings us into a new way of life, and we're grateful for that. And we just want to be ra'oi, to live in that life where Hashem Shekhinah is present. It's a token of, it's a mincha, it's a token of love, it's a show of love. It's really a request that Hashem should be known in this world. It's a request, in a sense, on behalf of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that He should be able to function in this world fully through us, that the whole Bria should come to know Him through us, and we should be elevated through that process. And therefore, each of these brachas actually corresponds to one of the ingredients of the mincha and the nesach. Let's try to figure it out. The first one, is it the dagon, the grain, the das? Is it the oil, the ha'aras enayim? Or is it the yayin, the simcha? Well, we have the first one, which is, desire us and our prayers, return your avoda, let us see your return to Tzion. And the word sechazena, the shorish is chazon, like in a navi, like chazon Yeshayahu, a sense of seeing clearly. You bring your shechina back down to Tzion. Which one is that? Careful. Careful, because look at the words in Sim Shalom. Right? Barchenu avinu kulanu ke'echad ba'or panecha. So it seems to be the dagon, the das. It seems to be the das that we are in a place of oneness with the Shekhinah, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu desires that we and Him, so to speak, are all together in this process, and our our tamid, our carbon tamid, our avoda brings us to a point where the Shechina can rest here and we can see it. Which means we have clarity. We have clarity to see the Shechina among us and not fight it. Now, modim, that's more obvious. Modim is we are so grateful to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that A, we know you're our God, that we know our lives are in your hands, that we know our neshamas are in your care. That's, we have hodah, we have gratitude. That seems to be the wine, simcha. By the way, this is a very profound bracha. If we were writing this bracha and said, modim anachnu lach sheh, we are thankful to you that, what would be the next words? That you've given us life, that you've given us health, that you've given us the role of being Jews, that you've elevated us from everybody else, you've given us the privilege of doing your mitzvahs. It's not what it says. And what we're pointing out here is, we modim anachnu lach, we are so thankful to you, Hashem, for what? First and foremost and above all things, that we know that you're Hashem, and that you're watching us, and that our lives are in your hands, given to us, to be taken back by you. That is the thing we are most thankful for of all things, that we have been given the gift of knowing that you are our God and what you want from us. Because if you think about it, two people can be in the same situation, going through a crisis. One who doesn't know about a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore says, why am I suffering? This is all meaningless. How will I survive? It's just going to destroy me. It's going to destroy my family. There's no point to it. And they just disintegrate into sorrow and hopelessness and suffering. And the other person, perhaps going through a very similar crisis, says, it's a challenge. Kadosh Baruch Hu loves me. He's watching me. It's a kapara. I can go through it. I can learn from this. So just knowing, Sha'atahu Hashem Elokeinu, just that, that's the biggest bracha of all the brachas in the whole world. And we're so grateful just that we know that. And the fact is, you taught it to us at Har Sinai, but it's not something that we're forced to accept. The produce of Eretz Yisrael makes us understand it from within ourselves, grow within ourselves, and we're one with it. And then that's the Yayin. And the third bracha, Sim Shalom, we're asking for shalom. What is shalom? Shalom is peace, spiritual peace, primarily between what? Your anochi and my anochi. This is the challenge. Your desire for me and my foolish or mistaken sense that I have my own agenda. Peace between my spirit and my bodily desires. Peace between what's emes and what's sheker, what's tov and what's rah, the human challenge of living. That's a peace. How do we get peace? And we know that das alone, just knowledge, is not enough to, you know, to catch a person up and make it the way they feel. It makes it the way they think. But a lot of people can give very coherent arguments, can define very clearly what's emes and sheker and tov v'ra, can tell you, can give a whole discourse on you know, the challenges that face human beings and the Yetzer Hara and the Yetzer Tov, and can be a very educated in all of this, can have a lot of das, but spiritually it hasn't yet affected them and changed them, and there's a tremendous divide between the head and the heart. So what we're asking for here is, give us peace so that what we know, what the wisdom that we have learned, which the produce of Eretz Yisrael helps us learn and know, is integrated into our soul, and we have Ha'aretz Einayim, which comes out, radiates through our face, through our neshama, that we're caught up in it, and it's not just something we know objectively, but it's something that has changed us and that has defined us and defined our whole person. And that's why we say, give us shalom, tova, bracha, chein, chesed, rachamim, all these gifts. We ask Barchenu Avinu Kulanu Ke'echad Ba'or Panecha, with your light of your face, which is similar to Berchas Kohanim, which they bless us. Ya'er Hashem Panaveilecha V'yuchunecha, let Hashem shine His face on you and give you the chain. And we understand that it's not enough just to accept our responsibility to Hashem, but a fully functioning Jew is meant to be one with that task. not to be in conflict with the task. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're learning here, has given us the tools in Eretz Yisrael to help us along this road. We recognize that and we offer them back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a demonstration of love that the whole system works together. So we don't have the Mincha Nesach, but we have these brachas as reminders to be offered along with our other tefillas. And so in our mind, we create through this image, we try to recreate the experience of the Karban and the Mincha and the Nesach. It's much harder, I think, to do it in an abstract way through tefillah than it is to do it concretely through material. But we're missing the Beis HaMikdash. This is our plight. This is where, unfortunately, our situation. But at least this should help us, this should remind us and help us to desire and the restoration of the Beis HaMikdash and the avoda in it, and we should all be zocha to offer our karbanos with the mincha and the nesach b'mehirah b'yameinu.